The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. You are listening to KHUH LP 104.9 FM Seattle. It is time for the Thunderbolt. And at the Thunderbolt, we believe in just saying no to boring public affairs programming. The Thunderbolt. Faster than a speeding bullet point. More powerful than multi-gigabyte bandwidth. Able to leap mixed metaphors in a single bound. Defending truth, justice, and the un-American way. Boldly going where no hack radio show has ever gone before. The Thunderbolt airs every week right here on KHUH. Listen at your own risk. All right. This show originally aired on August 3rd of 2018. Enjoy. Welcome to the Thunderbolt, where we put our lack of money where our mouth is. So first of all, I would like to announce that the Thunderbolt is back on Free Radio Olympia. Yes, kids, I'll be broadcasting every Saturday at noon. And you can dial in a froze signal in downtown Olympia at 91.9 FM. I've actually been back at Pro for a couple of months now. But I have already been on their air twice before, and both times my login to their website stopped working and I could not contact anyone over there about what to do about it. And since I'm not part of the secret inner circle over there, nor do I really want to be, then in order to communicate with the folks over at Pro, I am required to send a message via carrier pigeon to a hermit that lives in a hollowed out tree up in the Black Hills, who then relays my message via sat phone to a clandestine cell of anarchists out of Bee Branch, Arkansas, who then beck me through hacking the NSA database before sending an encrypted email via the dark net to a server in Kazakhstan to someone here in Olympia who can actually get something done on Pro's air. And so it has taken me a while to put everything together. And so this time, I wanted to make sure that this was actually a thing before announcing it on the show. But at this point, the Thunderbolt has been reliably broadcasting on Pro every Saturday for a while now. And so I am now officially ready to announce to the world that the Thunderbolt is back on the air in Olympia. Albeit on an illegal pirate station that is subject to being shut down without notice at any time. But anyway, at least the Thunderbolt can be heard over the air again in Olympia every Saturday at noon on 91.9 FM. Yippee! And since I recorded that piece, the Thunderbolt also now airs in Olympia on Chaos, K-A-O-S, 89.3 FM in Olympia, and it airs every Saturday at 1 a.m.
And working specifically through these individuals, for whom we call for the judgment of the sacred fire in this hour before the throne of Almighty God.
Woohoo! Look out! Here I come!
The end of the world will return in just a moment. But first, a word from our newest sponsor, iCarumba!
Carumba!
If I drove this car in my country, I'd be kidnapped.
Carumba!
A car that smells like me. I'm not an simple man. I do not need an simple car.
Carumba!
I love to drink in the lush, wine-filled interior. I like the way the doors lock. I will be buried in this car.
Carumba!
I love this car. I hate this music.
From General Motors, the people who gave you the luxury car.
The Martians had calculated their descent upon our Earth with amazing perfection and subtlety. As more of their cylinders came from the mysterious depths of space, their war machines, awesome in their power and complexity, created a wave of fear which swept into all corners of the world.
Hot rock, radio, all the hits, all the time, all the same.
This is the Wiz, the DJ that is, with a stack of wicked wax, coming at you with my big blackbird beaky.
Rock and roll, that's boogie.
And we'll be back with all the hits on Hot Rock Radio after this.
Hot Rock Radio, if the records weren't free, we'd be all news.
And now, Thunderbolt fans, I will let Ken Nordine introduce you to the Thunderbolt team.
We get together like this every weekend. That fellow playing the carpet there, you know, the shh sound, he's running for mayor. And the a girl playing the Venetian blinds there, she models hands. Great on gloves. Yeah, it's beginning to cook now. Oh, that ch-ch-ch sound there, that's an OB man. Fine man. And the other guy is just about ready to play the table over there. Live wire salesman for a plastic awning company. Never misses a session. Oh, that fellow, you never know it, with the toy piano. It's his kids. He, you know, steals it. Used to be an arthritic. Great for his hands. Yeah, oh, that fellow on the wastebasket over there. He used to be a catcher for one of the big clubs, but he sprained his little finger. That's really beginning to cook. You ought to try it at your house. So you're an amateur. Everyone's an amateur. No one lives long enough to be anything but an amateur. Excuse me, I have to find something to play. I want to join in.
Let's start right off with the irony of the week. New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, a noted women's rights activist, has evidently been credibly accused by several women of physically beating and abusing them. If true, Mr. Schneiderman has just taken liberal hypocrisy to an entirely new level. And that is saying something. And as a bonus treat, this week, the Thunderbolt will also reveal the biggest difference between black people and white people. And here it is. Black people have black skin, and white people have white skin. And that is it. The whole skin color thing is one of a few minor adaptations that black people adopted for living in hot weather, and that white people adopted for living in cold weather. And that is not only it, but it is utterly, completely, totally insignificant to anything that actually means anything or that matters at all in any way or in any manner whatsoever, howsoever, whensoever. All other differences between black people and white people are culturally implanted ones that have absolutely nothing to do with anything as far as innate intelligence or innate capability or anything else that actually means anything goes. In spite of the fact that racial prejudice is 100% culturally manufactured, a lot of people still have serious problems dealing with other people simply because their skin is a different color. A few times in the past, I have, with tongue firmly planted within cheek, suggested that the solution to this problem would be for all of the races to start interbreeding. And then, a few generations down the road, we would all be the same color. And then, it would no longer be an issue. One problem that I do foresee with this strategy, though, is that humans, being humans, would probably just find something else to get all upset about. But be that as it may be, here in the good old US of A, the youngsters have evidently begun following my advice, as mixed-race babies are now the biggest growing demographic in the United States. Hip hip hooray! And hey, kids, whenever they refer to storing your data in the cloud, they create the impression, I am sure quite intentionally, that your data is sitting up in the sky somewhere, all nice and safe and comfy, enclosed within a secure little wisp of cloud. Well, actually, all that storing your data in the cloud means is that you are storing all of your information on someone else's computer. And the same is true with all transactions involving cryptocurrencies. What you are doing there is conducting financial transactions on other people's computers. And Facebook, which is headed by the known CIA collaborator, Mark Zuckerberg, is exploring the possibility of creating a Facebook version of cryptocurrency. And critics have already labeled Facebook's cryptocurrency as the Zucker coin. The Zucker coin will make it much easier for Facebook to take all your money, and it will make it much easier for both Facebook and the CIA to track the financial transactions of the unbanked amongst us. Yes, kids, they're trying to turn us into a nation of suckers.
What was that?
Danger, Will Robinson.
I'm sorry, but my karma just ran over your dogma. So I've gone here a couple of times before, but it is important, and so I am going to go there again. When I was programming over at KOWA, I combed the internet for days trying to find a radio show for mothers. I finally found one out of Sarasota, Florida, that was called Maternally Yours. And they had actually quit production by the time I found them. But they had 3 years worth of archives, and I figured that most of that information was probably not time sensitive. And so I put it in the KOWA schedule. After I initially checked it out, it was not a show that I actually listened to myself. But I wasn't why Maternally Yours was there. So the point is that I had a very hard time finding any programming of any kind for mothers, and I think that totally sucks. But I also think that it is totally typical. Motherhood receives doodly squat when it comes to both respect and when it comes to financial remuneration for their labors, in spite of the fact that motherhood is probably the most difficult and the most important job that there is. Consider the depth of the commitment and the weight of the responsibility. Consider how long both of those things last. Consider the insane working hours, and consider the lack of sleep for years. Consider the complete drain on mind and body. Consider the variety of skills required. A mother must be a doctor, a tactician, a diplomat, a psychiatrist, a cook, a maid, and an educator. And here is another factor that is rarely considered. even though it is very important. A mother spends decades placing the concerns of another ahead of her own concerns. Yes, most fathers do that also, but the commitment there is generally not nearly as deep with fathers as it is with mothers, and I think that is evidenced by the fact that fathers walk away from all that much more often and much more easily than mothers do. Fathers don't experience pregnancy or labor either, so they have less skin in the game. So the bottom line for this piece is, I think that mothers totally rock, and I think they should get a lot more props than they currently do. So hug a mother today. So next, I have a personal anecdote for you concerning Muammar Gaddafi. When I was younger, a friend of mine had a father that had himself been a reporter in Libya during the 1970s. My friend's father once described to me a press conference that he had attended that featured Libya's new president, Muammar Gaddafi. My friend's father described hanging out in a hotel lobby in Tripoli with about a dozen other reporters when Gaddafi pulled up by himself driving a beat-up old Chevrolet. Gaddafi parked, threw his keys to the valet, and walked into the lobby where he started talking to the reporters. There was no obvious security presence of any kind. Well, I'm sorry, but that is not the way that brutal totalitarian dictators act. So Muammar Muhammad Abu Minyar Gaddafi was brutally murdered when American-funded Islamist forces in coalition with the American-funded Misrata militia, when they raped Gaddafi with a bayonet. This all happened during an American-funded disaster that was called Operation Dawn, which successfully transformed Libya from a thriving, wealthy, and advanced nation into a devastated, smoking crater that is currently being run by various rival gangs of mutually warring Islamic fundamentalist psychopaths. Libya has now been split up into mutually warring pieces, whilst the United States, the instigator of all this chaos, appears to be stumbling and bumbling around, arming people to fight other people that they are also arming. However, this is a strategy that has actually achieved its intended purpose, which was to eliminate the threat that Libyan oil money posed to the way that the world should be. And the way that the world should be in the view of the elites is under the heavy thumb of the IMF and the World Bank. I can almost guarantee you that the actual reason Muammar Gaddafi was so brutally murdered was because Gaddafi had been using his oil money to start an African investment bank so that the nations of Africa could get themselves out from under that oppressive thumb. And in a side note, Hillary Clinton was intimately involved in Gaddafi's murder. And there is a video clip of Mrs. Clinton cackling gleefully and making jokes about it upon learning the nature of his death, which I will repeat, was brought about when he was raped with a bayonet. The bottom line in all of this is that competing with Wall Street is the original sin and represents absolutely the quickest and easiest path it is possible to take if you wish to transform your country from a vibrant and advanced nation into a smoking crater that is being run by various rival gangs of mutually warring psychopaths. We're going to take a quick station break. We'll be right back. The views expressed on this program are strictly those of the show's producers and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor anyone associated with this radio station. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. This next Thunderbolt represents yet another meditation upon how when incredibly messed up things become accepted as being normal by the culture as a whole, they can eventually become viewed as being perfectly normal, even by many people who are otherwise of good heart. Yes, kids, what we have here is ignorance rather than evil. The difference being that ignorance is a curable condition. As an instance, I would point out the fact that in Western culture, there was an almost universal acceptance of the institution of slavery for most of the recorded history. And the vast majority of the good-hearted, honest, and caring portions of European society of the time considered slavery to be perfectly acceptable simply because nearly everyone else found it to be perfectly acceptable. For a more modern instance, the title for this week's Thunderbolt, Idiots, Imbeciles, and Morons, was given in honor of what until fairly recently were official designations that were actually given to actual people in order to justify institutionalizing them. And in many cases, in order to justify sterilizing them as well. People being officially designated as idiots, imbeciles, and morons can still be found in official government documents from the time. And here is the thing about that. It is estimated that 60 to 70,000 sterilizations of people deemed to be imbeciles were performed in the United States during the heyday of the eugenicist movement of the early 20th century. Eugenics is when one group of people decides that they are gods and can thus determine whether other people deserve to propagate or to even exist at all. So a gentleman named Francis Galton, who is the half-cousin of Charles Darwin, originally coined the word eugenics in late 19th century England. Now, this was right after Darwin had postulated his theory of evolution and had proposed his own survival of the fittest meme.
Just imagine a trip to a wonderful land of candy and jam and ice cream.
For some people, anyway.
I gotta hit that string, you better watch it. With a cat that I pack with a full clip. I got the whip, got the pigeon that I keep undercover. All up in the cup, just to live it up. See this dope cold face, try to knock it. I keep it tight, never walk, I'm a rocket. I got a beat in it, I got a frit in it. I got a beat, got a beat, got a beat, got a beat, got a beat.
Well, Mr. Galton figured that if nature does this naturally, then humans could speed up that natural process along by deciding who gets to reproduce and who doesn't. The idea of eugenics then immigrated into the United States, where it was enthusiastically adopted by many of America's most admired civic leaders. Yes, universities across the land taught eugenics. It was very popular in the popular press. And it was the subject of many best-selling books. Amongst the people who supported eugenics was Theodore Roosevelt, Louis Brandeis, Oliver Wendell Holmes, Margaret Sanger, several presidents of Harvard, the first president of Stanford, and the founder of Planned Parenthood. Yes, this was a mass movement, and it was only discredited when Adolf Hitler took eugenics to its natural conclusion. In the early stages of eugenics, they started out with castrations. But the eugenicists were having trouble getting legislatures to adopt eugenic sterilization laws because people didn't like the idea of actually castrating people. but medical science to the rescue. The rise of the vasectomy and the scalpingectomy, or the cauterizing of the fallopian tubes, which is what they did to women at the time. These procedures made the idea of sterilizing, quote, substandard people, unquote, a little more palatable to lawmakers and to the public. And by the way, this scalpingectomy was a terribly invasive operation that involved all kinds of anesthesia and numerous medical procedures that were quite primitive at the time. Recovery usually required 2 weeks, and they did this to thousands of women. So the Nazis looked to the Americans for expertise in this field because the Americans were the world leaders at the time. In the 1930s, there was a man named Harry Laughlin who ran the Eugenics Records Office. And Mr. Laughlin was in correspondence with Nazi scientists throughout the 30s, and they looked to Mr. Laughlin for advice about how to set up their own eugenics sterilization programs. And Mr. Laughlin, in fact, later openly boasted of the fact that the Nazis had based their eugenic law upon his own American law. So during the Nuremberg trials, several prominent Nazis used the existence of the American sterilization laws to justify their own actions. The state of Virginia kept its sterilization laws on the books until the 1970s. And they were indeed actually sterilizing people deemed to be unfit to reproduce throughout the 1970s. And sterilizing people is still legal under current Supreme Court precedent. That was set by a case called Buck, B-U-C-K, Bell, B-E-L-L. In 2001, in fact, the Court of Appeals in Missouri cited Buck v. Bell in a case involving sterilization of a mildly mentally retarded woman. There are recent cases where women in prisons have been sterilized without their consent. And there was a case in Tennessee a couple of years ago where a prosecutor was fired, allegedly for making sterilization part of his plea negotiations. In other words, in many areas of our land, this is still the law of the land. On a positive front, the state of Virginia has since apologized for sterilizing thousands of people against their will, and often without even their knowledge. And in 2016, Virginia even offered compensation of $25,000 to each of the survivors of the practice. But only 8 people have applied so far because the vast majority of the victims are now dead. So far, The state of Virginia is the only institution or government body to bother even apologizing, much less compensating the victims of this practice. And I would suggest that a little truth and reconciliation might just be in order here. It's time to get to work now, kids.
All right. And for Seattle listeners, we're going to play some music now. The artist I'm going to feature this week, I was actually a lifelong fan of this lady, but I could never find out anything about her. At one time, I thought she was black, in fact, because she sounds black. But actually, she's a redhead, and I know that now because I met her in a bar up in Victoria in the late 90s. And I personally consider her to be the best female guitar player I have ever heard. This is Ellen McElwain. Enjoy.
this song is for all of us because it's called We the People.
Was Ellen McElwain. That last song was called We the People. Before that was I Don't Want to Play. And we started off with Ain't No Two Ways About It. And that's it for the Thunderbolt this week. We'll see you next week. And the bonus tip of the day, hug an idiot, an imbecile, or a moron today. Peace. And we'll see you next week. Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way, is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt, nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to Dana 98501@gmail.com, and we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. And a quick note here, the Thunderbolt is on Facebook, where you can find links to the show and to the show notes, or you can go to radioforall.net. That's radio4all.net, where you can also find the show notes, as well as a year's worth of downloadable episodes of the Thunderbolt.
Thank you very much.